Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And good morning, and this is Pastor Tony Romo once again. Good Wednesday morning, I guess I should say. It's in the middle of the week now, so we're halfway there. Halfway where? Well, if you're like a lot of us, you're looking forward to that weekend, I guess, huh? Well, we're halfway there, and so you can start revving up in your rejoicing. Let me read Hosea 4:6 once again, which is our theme verse for this week. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now, we've talked about this verse, of course, the last 2 days, off and on, and to some extent. And let me just make a little bit of a reference to it once again, where it talks about not being priest to the Lord because of our willful ignorance. We've rejected God's knowledge, so we're willfully ignorant. And he's telling us there that we've lost that right of intercessory, or to be an intercessor. You reject God's knowledge, you reject the truth of God's word. You may go through the motions, you're still going to church, you still may be a deacon, maybe you're doing the pastor thing, whatever you may be doing, but yet you're continually rejecting God's knowledge. And he says you don't have the power of intercessory prayer. You're not able to intercede for others. But not only that, because you have forgotten the law of God, you've rejected his truth, he says he's going to forget your posterity, our children, our grandchildren, because of our willful ignorance. Translates into our children and our posterity being ignorant as well. Excuse me. And so they're cursed, in a sense, with ignorance themselves because of our willful ignorance. We may have had the opportunity to learn certain truths, but we reject them. And in so doing, we're cursing our posterity because of it. Now, we're going to be making some reference to, or we're going to be continuing, rather, on our study of the movie The Passion of the Christ today. But before we get there, I'll have a few announcements to make and some other commentaries. We do want to thank, first of all, Mr. Ted Adams, who was here with us yesterday, and we had a wonderful time together. I wish we could have been able to set up something for today or Thursday or whatever, so we could have continued our questioning and informing ourselves of what the Constitution Party was all about. We did get quite a bit of information, and if you would like to know more about the Constitution Party, a week from this coming Thursday, on the 18th, a week from tomorrow, on the 18th, they will be meeting at the Sims Branch Library at 1508 Pelham Road. That's at 7 o'clock, August the 18th, at Sims Library at 1508 Pelham Road. And also, the Greenville County Libertarian Party is meeting tomorrow. They will be meeting at 6:30, and their meeting is at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. And you're welcome to come. If you're not a member of the Libertarian Party, you want to come and visit, then you're welcome to come. It's 6:30 in the evening tomorrow. There's also the Institute on the Constitution we want to refer to. The church in Pickens, it's called the Bible Baptist Church. It's at 2522 Gentry Memorial Highway. and they're having the Institute on the Constitution. Now, we've just completed that in our own church about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and now they're picking it up, and I'm just so glad they're doing that. After that, I understand there's going to be another one. As soon as this one is completed, then there's going to be another Institute on the Constitution, and easily, I believe, we'll have more information on that. In the meantime, you can go to Bible Baptist Church. They're having their Institute on the Constitution at 8:30 Saturday morning, 8:30 until around noon or so. If you want any more information, you can call Pastor Mark Dibler. His number is 421-2714, 421-2714. Well, there's one other thing going on in this area. And if you want to hear some good old-fashioned Southern preaching, Confederate style, the way our Confederate grandfathers heard it, you need to come to the Great Court Owings Social Hall. He'll be there all week. Who is he? That's Pastor John Weaver. He's pretty popular, pretty famous, and he's I consider him an expert on Southern heritage-type issues. And so if you can make those services from 7 o'clock until he's done, there's no admission price, but they do pick up an offering. They have a place there where you can make donations. This particular service is being held by the Lawrence Breyer Camp 2056. If you want more information, talk to James DeShields, and you can call him at 864-969-5029. So I would try to make something like that if I were you. Now, I haven't been able to make one yet myself because I've had some preaching engagements myself, so I haven't been able to make it. So I'm thinking I might be able to go tonight and tomorrow. But again, when it happens, it's just a matter of scheduling things. But this is something you really need to put some time aside so you can go and listen to Pastor John Weaver. All right, well, we're going to be talking about, again, the Passion of the Christ, the movie, and why are we looking to talk about that when it's all over a month and a half, or a year and a half later now, and why even bother? We'll just leave it alone and go on and do something else, right? Well, there's some value in that because, first of all, when the movie first came out, I was warning people about that. The reason I'm warning people about it is because I knew what it contained. The movie contained not an actual, how would I say it? It wasn't the actual crucifixion based on biblical truths. It was based on the crucifixion. Well, of course it was. But there was a lot of things put in there that were deceptive, that we could be deceived by. And not only we could have been deceived by, we were deceived by. And I say that in a general sense. Many folks in the church during that time were so excited about, and I'm just not talking about Christians, I'm talking about the pastors of those churches. When folks were getting so excited and it was coming out and so forth, and there was a lot of interviews that were made. People went and saw these viewings. They had some showings, rather, private viewings where some of these folks came out, leaders I'm talking about, that we consider leaders, for example, Tim LaHaye said, everyone should see this movie. It could be Hollywood's finest achievement to date. Well, with those kinds of glowing reports, well, people can, they're depending on folks like Tim LaHaye and Billy Graham and folks like Dr. Darrell Bach and people like Ed Young Jr. and Greg Laurie and Jack Hayford. All these folks gave some glowing reports of this particular movie. And so when we hear that sort of thing, then most of the time people are apt to believe it because these are leaders in the Christian church. But again, we need to be, as Christians now, we need to be as the Bereans were. The Bible says that these men, these Bereans, in Acts 17:11, that these men were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica, and that in that they received the word with readiness of mind, but they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So the things that they were hearing from the Apostle Paul and Silas and others, they were teachable. They received them with readiness of mind. They were teachable, but they were not gullible, because he said, then they went and they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. The word search there in search of scriptures is the word that we use today for scrutinize. So these men were scrutinizing the word of God to see if these things were that were being preached by Paul and Silas and others, if these things that they were preaching were so. Now they were receiving that information. They weren't just blocking it out and saying, no, we don't want to hear it. No, they received that information. Well, it's the same kind of thing that goes on today in Christian churches today, particularly with this Passion of the Christ movie when it came out. I was willing to listen to what these folks had to say. They thought it was a wonderful thing. They thought it was the greatest thing since post-toasties and so forth. Well, but yet we went and we began to search the scriptures accordingly. In other words, we began to search the scriptures. Okay, what does the movie say? What do the scriptures say? What does the movie say? What do the scriptures say? And so as we scrutinized that that information, then we understood that, no, this is not the shining moment that everyone says it is. Maybe it is as far as a money-making venture. That it was, for sure. But as far as the truth of God's Word and what we ought to be rejoicing in as Christians, it was not. Well, we'll come back in just a few moments and continue with this study.
For the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we're back. This is Pastor Tony Romo once again. Let me invite you to come to South Point Baptist Church on Sunday mornings at 9:45. We have our Christian Worldview Sunday School class, in which we take issues on from a biblical perspective. We don't have your typical Sunday school class, although we don't frown upon that now, but in our particular case, we realized some things about 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago now, that and the very thing that we're using as a theme verse here is what our theme verse is in our Sunday school classes, Hosea 4:6. We realized back a few years ago that we were ignorant about a lot of things. Of course, most of us are ignorant as Christians about a lot of things in the Bible. And I include myself in it. We know a lot of things about the Bible, but where there's a lot of things we don't know about the Bible, and we should focus on that we might be better prepared and better equipped to face things in the world, challenges that we have, personal challenges as well as corporate challenges as a church. But also we began to realize that we were pretty ignorant about other things, socially speaking, culturally, governmentally, politically. I know there's a lot of folks, for example, that went and heard Mr. Inglis a couple of days ago, and I've gotten a few emails about that, and boy, I'm just so proud of some of those folks that attend the church with us, that they are so knowledgeable. I mean, it's just, to me, I'm just so grateful for folks like that, and I tap into that knowledge, and I'm just taking advantage of that, because these folks have been very dedicated to understanding and finding out what all these things are all about. Politically speaking, we have issues like CAFTA and NAFTA and FTAA and other things like that that are going to be affecting us in the future, and a lot of these folks are so knowledgeable about that that it's to our benefit that we tap into that knowledge and gain from it. And so what we do then during our Sunday school class is we address these issues through a biblical worldview. Current events, current things. I do preach expository preaching, and so we get plenty of Bible during the preaching time. And so we're able to dedicate our Sunday school class to the Christian worldview approach. So if you're interested in something like that, we invite you to come to South Point Baptist Church at 945. It's at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, 29669. If you can punch that in a MapQuest in your computer, and you can get a pretty decent map as to how to get there. Just get there at 945 so you can start off with us. And so we invite you to come. And right after that, of course, we go right into our service. And usually we're done between 12:20, somewhere right in there. All right. Again, Dr. John Coben will be gone for the remainder of this month, or the biggest part of this month anyway. You might want to be praying for him. He's going to be speaking in a couple of different places, Chile and Peru, I believe. And you heard him probably last week where he was doing a portion of his program in Spanish. And so he was trying to do a little brushing up on his Spanish. And if you don't use Spanish very often, or any other language, you're not going to be all that good at it at first. So he'll probably have some difficulties, but be praying for him that the Lord will use him out there where he's going to be. All right, well, let's go back to what we were talking about here in just a little bit. The Passion of the Christ, the film, the movie. Now, a lot of us went to see it. Now, I didn't. My wife and I didn't. There's a lot of folks in our church that did, and we're not condemning them for going now. That's not the idea. The idea is that what were they sitting in front of? What were they watching? Were they watching a true version of what the Bible teaches, or was it something else? Well, you heard all these interviews, or these views that these folks were giving, these rave reviews, rather, is what I'm trying to say. And Pat Boone, for example, says, "It's a monumental accomplishment. It continues to impact me in ways I couldn't have imagined." So that's Pat Boone. So there's many other letters that were written to Icon, who is the production company, I believe, for that particular movie. And so what we're trying to do is look at this thing from a biblical perspective. Now, I got a letter, or I guess I don't know if you can call it a letter, but I got an email, and it says, "Tony, here is a view of the Passion that you can take on." And the title of it is Venomous Gospel Preachers. Now, Let me go ahead and read this, and then I'm going to try to respond to this. You may be aware that Hollywood has produced a blockbuster movie centered on the things of God. You may also know that it was directed and produced by a Roman Catholic. While the film was based on Scripture, it contained a number of scenes that cannot be corroborated by the Bible. The movie I'm referring to is the ever-popular Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston. Mr. DeMille was a Roman Catholic, and he took artistic license by starring Charlton Heston. He took artistic license by portraying Moses as having a romance while he was in Egypt and actually disguising himself as a Hebrew slave to tread out bricks. Yet I am sure that when the film was released, most Christians rejoiced that from the pit of an immoral industry, godless minds were suddenly reminded that there was a God and that he had a holy law. In our day, most Christians are rejoicing that amid the filth of Hollywood, another movie has been produced that flies in the face of everything for which Hollywood stands. That movie is The Passion of the Christ. But some are deeply concerned that it was also directed and produced by a Roman Catholic. It also contains artistic license. It has scenes that are from Catholic mysticism rather than from Scripture. The appearance of a raven at the cross, Judas being tormented by children, etc. These are legitimate concerns. Our forefathers in the gospel shed their blood so that we could be free from chains of Catholicism. But we must remember why their blood was shed. It was because they stood for the truth. So while it is legitimate to expose the error of Catholicism, it is even more important to stand up for the truth of the gospel. It is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Another concern that some people have is that an on-screen depiction of Jesus is a form of a graven image, and therefore a transgression of the second commandment. Those who seek that making an image of Jesus on film is breaking. I'm sorry. Let me read that again. Those who think that making an image of Jesus on film is breaking the commandment should read it in full. We are not to make graven images of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. That would mean that we shouldn't make films of images, movies, or still photos of any person, animal, fish, flower, bird, mountain, etc. Doesn't it make sense until we read the whole commandment? You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, Exodus 24 and 5. The commandment forbids the creation of an image for the purpose of worship. While we could argue about these issues, I would rather ask you an important question. If someone says, "I'm not a Christian, but I did see the film," wow, what was all the brutality about? Are you going to reply, "I didn't go to the movie because it was directed and produced by a Roman Catholic. It's idolatrous. It contains things that cannot be corroborated by Scripture, and I therefore think it was evil"? I hope not. I should hope that you would instead use the film as a springboard to explain the way of salvation. Think of Paul's attitude in Philippians 1. Some folks weren't just adding their own mystical thoughts to the message of the cross. They were downright vicious. They were hypocrites who preached Christ out of pretense, envy, strife, and selfish ambition. They were so full of venom that they wanted to see Paul further suffer, hoping to add affliction to his chains. Yet what was Paul's attitude towards such wickedness? He rejoiced that they preached Christ. Despite the terrible baggage that came with the message, he said, what then, only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Do you remember what happened in Mark 9:38 and 39, when the disciples told Jesus that he had found a man who was casting out demons in his name? This man had a ministry, but he wasn't with their group. So they took it upon themselves to rebuke him. But Jesus told them to leave him alone. This is because God doesn't need bouncers to help him carry out his purpose. if I had had a hand in the making of the Passion of the Christ, I would have dropped all the mysticism and based it purely on Scripture also, as in the epic movie Ben-Hur. A wonderful movie. I wouldn't have shown the face of the Savior, but I didn't write, produce, or direct it. So I tell myself that this isn't a movie about Jesus being a homosexual. It isn't about having about him having sexual relations with Mary Magdalene. It doesn't depict him as merely as a man, as did Jesus Christ Superstar. Instead, the Passion of the Christ is based on Scripture with some artistic license. It begins with a powerful Scripture. The whole movie is full of Scripture, and it even ends with the resurrection. Christ is preached, and we should therefore rejoice and be thankful that millions have been graphically reminded of the cross of Calvary in a way they will never forget. That means that we can either take advantage of an unprecedented opportunity and use it to speak further with them about their salvation, or we can whine. I choose the former, and I hope you do also. If we are wise, we will make the most of such opportunities to point people to the Savior. All right, well, that's fairly lengthy, but it's a challenge, because what we're doing here, are we whining? First of all, at the end of this letter here, he says, or this email, he says, if we are wise, we ought to take advantage to speak to them further about the gospel, or we can whine. Now, are we whining? I think not. But I'll explain that here in a minute. All right, now, also, one of the things about this particular letter saying that we ought to take advantage of the opportunities for to witness to people about the Lord, to bring the gospel message. Well, you know, we can do that through anything, really. I mean, this movie included. That's not the point of the issue of what we're talking about here today. But I will address some of these things here in just a moment. So, it's a challenge because, first of all, this particular email starts with venomous gospel preachers, implying that some of us who are taking a stand against these types of things and warning the body of Christ about about the error, you know, you can call it artistic license. But this artistic license that these folks would are taking in these movies, you wouldn't allow me to take. When I get up to preach the gospel, when I get up to preach on the pulpit or any other pastor, you better not let him get away with artistic license and somehow excuse him for it. Why are we making exceptions for a movie based on the life of Jesus Christ, and yet we won't make that same exception with our pastors and our preachers and our evangelists? We better not. That's the whole idea we're talking about here. Okay, well, I'm going to be addressing some of these things, some of these issues that he just brought up. But we've got our break coming up right now, so let's go ahead and take our break, and that way we can follow through these particular issues without interruption. We'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And sitting in for Dr. John Coben is Pastor Tony Romo. And we're talking about The Passion of the Christ, the movie, a year and a half after the fact. And again, why are we approaching it this way? Well, I wasn't all that effective when the movie first came out. Now, I was with our church. We understood these things because we took time to discuss them. But with a lot of these other folks that I know, and they're good Christian folks, we're not trying to undermine their Christianity or anything like that. We're just talking about how we as a body, as Christians, have this tendency to reject knowledge. And that's what Hosea 4:6 is all about. And it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And destroyed there means cut off. We're cut off from God's energy. And the source of our energy, as far as Christians, is God himself, the power of God through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And when we begin to reject the knowledge of God, and we get all caught up with our own little philosophies and begin to excuse what we're doing, things like this Passion of the Christ movie, and we're just glossing over all the deceptive things within the movie, and we continue to say things like, well, yeah, but the idea is it's still based on the Bible. Well, yeah, so is what Satan told the Lord in his tempting was based on the Bible too. What he did with Eve, it was based on God's word as well. So we can make all type of different excuses about it, but we need to look at this thing accordingly. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody or anything like that. That's not the idea. But it's been a year and a half now, and a lot of the times when people have arguments or debates, and even within family members and church members and so forth, when there's some time that goes by, it's a whole lot easier to go back and recollect and remember what went on. And then it's a whole lot easier at that point to say, you know what, you're right. And we shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have said that, or whatever. Well, this is the same thing I'm trying to apply now. The same principle is that now that we can go back, we can go back now and look at some of these issues, and if you were one of those folks that was so excited, so full of enthusiasm and excitement and so forth about taking people to go watch this movie and so on, and most of what was being said about the movie at the time, that it was just so much violence in it, and yes, there was, and it seemed to be some kind of anti-Semitic message in there, and no, there wasn't, but either way, those were the arguments that were people were focusing on, and we were just taking our positions, and I never even addressed those particular things. What I was talking about is that it's not scriptural. The things that are being shown on there are things that are going to be deceived, or things are going to be used to deceive the people that are there watching it. So, and we as Christians ought to know better, because we are the ones that ought to be standing for the truth. All right, so let me take one paragraph here, first of all, in this particular letter, this email that I read just a little bit ago. And I'm going to take this one little paragraph, and I'm going to try to respond to that. And if you have your own particular response, and you think I'm making a big deal out of this when I shouldn't, you can call in yourself. The number is 244-8177, if it's a local call. If it's not, then you've got to dial 864-244-8177. There's a secondary line, too, if you wish. It's 201-6955. Now, let me read this paragraph again. It says, while we could argue about these issues, I would rather ask you an important question. If someone says, I'm not a Christian, but I did see the film, wow, what was all the brutality about? Or are you going to reply, I didn't go to the movie because it was directed and produced by a Roman Catholic? It's idolatrous, and it contains things that cannot be corroborated by Scripture, and I therefore think it was evil? I hope not, he says. I should hope that you would instead use the movie as a springboard to explain the way of salvation. All right, listen. You can use anything as a springboard to explain the way of salvation. That is not the point. As a matter of fact, let me share something with you. You've been around people that are lost. I know you have at work, throughout the world, wherever you're at, and there's people out there that are lost. And let me just share with you this thing here, and I hope you're not going to get offended by what I'm going to say. But there's been a number of times, but this one particular time that I'm standing in the middle of a bunch of workers out in the middle of a construction site, and this one guy walks up, and he says, God damn. Well, that's a cuss word, right? I mean, they use it as a cuss word. So he comes up, and he says, God damn. And I said, yeah, he does damn, but he'd rather save. And he looks at me and he says, what? I said, well, you said God damn. I said, yes, God does damn, but he would rather save. I said, and he would rather save you. And you know how he would do that? And I went off and started telling him about the Lord. What did I do? I used his cuss word as a springboard to explain the way of salvation, as this paragraph says. We can do that with anything. That's not the point. The point that we're making with standing against this particular movie is that when he says here, springboard to explain the way of salvation. Okay, of course, that's what we talk about, or that's what the Lord says when we're to be instant in season and out of season. That's what being instant in season and out of season is all about. But remember, that particular verse, 2 Timothy 4:2, starts with, preach the word, and ends with doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So it starts with preach the word. It doesn't say with preach the word, it's sprinkled with a little bit of a artistic license. And then it ends with doctrine. We're talking about sound doctrine. We as Christians, we better be very concerned about anything that's being expressed out there and pawned off as the gospel if it's not preaching the true word of God and containing sound doctrine. All right, let me go to the next paragraph. It says, think of Paul's attitude in Philippians chapter 1. Some folks weren't just adding their own mystical thoughts to the message of the cross. They were downright vicious. They were hypocrites who preached Christ out of pretense, envy, strife, and selfish ambition. They were so full of venom that they wanted to see Paul further suffer, hoping to add affliction to his chains. Yet what was Paul's attitude toward such wickedness? He rejoiced that they preached Christ despite the terrible baggage that came with the message. He said, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. Verse 18, chapter 1 of Philippians. All right. But look at the key word there. Christ is preached. He's talking about these men preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. In these verses, Paul is referring to their motive, not the message. They were preaching Christ, but with wrong motives. Paul rejoiced over the message, not the motive. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we're back. This is Pastor Tony Romo, and I'm in the process of responding to an email that one of the members of the TRN family sent in, and says, Tony, here's a view of the passion that you can take on, and it's called Venomous Gospel Preachers. And I've already responded to a couple of paragraphs, and let me just reiterate on the second one, where it says that Paul was rejoicing over the fact that Christ was being preached, even though some of these men that were preaching Christ was out of pretense, envy, strife, and selfish ambition. And then he goes on to say they were full of venom, and they wanted to see Paul further suffer and so forth. Well, yes, and that is true. But again, like I said earlier, is that Paul was making reference to their motive and not the message. He rejoiced over their preaching Christ, even though it was with the wrong motives. Paul wasn't rejoicing over the wrong motives. He was rejoicing over the message of Christ that they were preaching. and by implication, because we know also that Paul the Apostle was very jealous. He guarded the scriptures, he guarded the word of God, he guarded the gospel jealously. And even in Galatians, when he talks about that if any man come and preach another gospel, or even an angel from heaven, he says, let him be anathema maranatha. That means let him be damned by God. That means let him be, again, God damned. If you're going to go around using that term, use it scripturally. Make reference to what the Apostle Paul was saying. So we know that the Apostle Paul wasn't being slack and saying, well, they're not really preaching the gospel, but hey, you know, Jesus is sprinkled through there, so let it fly. No. And this particular verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, is not making reference to the message of the gospel, it's making reference to the motive of those gospelers. In other words, they're preaching Christ. They may have been motivated by the wrong things, but they were preaching Christ. And you can make that same application with some of these folks that we see on television today. You know, there's like Benny Hinn and people like that. Every once in a while, they trip up and preach the gospel. And, well, we know that the motives that a lot of these folks is not the right motive, but if the message of the gospel is being preached clearly and people can understand that particular message and be saved, well, we rejoice over that. We don't rejoice over the motives, though. And Paul was not rejoicing over the motives of these men that were preaching, but he was rejoicing over the fact that it was Christ that was being preached. And he says, and in this I rejoice. Okay, so that needs to be pretty clear there. Now, the next paragraph, it says, do you remember what happened in Mark 9:38 and 39 when the disciples told Jesus that they had found a man who was casting out demons in his name? This man had a ministry, but he wasn't with their group. So they took it upon themselves to rebuke him. But Jesus told them to leave him alone, that this because God doesn't need bouncers to help him carry out his purposes. Well, you got a little elaborated, a little bit lengthy there. But in any event, you've got to understand the whole counsel of God too, though. Romans 16:17 says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. In a movie like this, we have to make reference to it. We need to point these things out because these things cause divisions and offenses which are contrary. They contradict the gospel. They contradict the doctrine which we have learned, and we are to point those things out, and we're to avoid that. We don't need to be buying up theater thousands of theater seats so that people can come and watch a particular movie that all it's going to do is contradict the truth of the gospel. It's going to undermine the faith of believers. It's going to undermine those that might be there that are not believers. And they may accept a particular Jesus Christ that they saw in the film, but that's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Because we can use that same sort of attitude and say, look, wait a minute. The Mormons are preaching a Jesus Christ, so why don't we just not point them out either? I mean, it is a Jesus Christ, but, I mean, is it the Jesus Christ of the Bible? The gospel that they preach, is it the gospel of the Bible? There's the gospel of the Catholics, which is what we're referring to here with this movie. There's the gospel of the Jehovah Witnesses, and they have a Jesus Christ that they make reference to. And we can go on down the line with all these particular cults that we have here in America and throughout the world, and they use Jesus also. But Paul, in Romans 16:17, he says that we're to mark those folks. They're causing division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and we're to avoid those folks. Now look, when we talk about making movies and so forth, first of all, I'm not going to get all caught up with about the images and all this sort of thing, because the statement that he made earlier is true and correct. We're not to make these images for the purpose of bowing down and worshiping them. So it's not God is not making reference to don't take photographs and, you know, all these kinds of things like some folks believe somewhere. It used to be pretty popular years and years and years ago. I know that, but and there still may be some folks that believe that sort of thing. But I'm not talking about that. What we're talking about is that when you take the truth of God's word and you mix it with error, it's no longer the truth. Now, we better come to grips with that sort of thing and quit making excuses when people say the Passion of the Christ is based on Scripture, but it has some artistic license. I can get up there and say anything from the pulpit my own self and use that same excuse. Would you allow me to do that? I hope you wouldn't. That's what's wrong with the pulpits today. People are getting up there and they're basing their sermons on scripture. They'll read a verse and then they'll go off half-cocked into something and start making all these artistic allusions to things, and when it's all said and done, you come out of there feeling pretty good about yourself, but you don't know anything about the Word because the Word was not preached. Well, we're going to take another break and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're back. This is Pastor Tony Romo. I'm getting a little riled up over here, but let me tell you something about what's going on here. The third Thursday is the League of the South meeting at the Prime Sirloin and Woodruff Road across the street from the Greenville Mall from 6:30 to 8:30. That's the League of the South meeting. It's the third Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road. And it's from 6:30 to 8:30, a couple of hours there. So if you can make that meeting, we invite you to come to that. All right, well, let me get back to what I was talking about here, if I can find my place once again. And in response to that particular email that's titled Venomous Gospel Preachers, and again, make that, just close this particular thing out by saying that it's not whining that we're involved with here. What it is that we are marking those folks that are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, which we have learned, and we're to avoid them. So we don't need to be promoting these types of things, and we're going to get into more specifics here about what this movie contained and so forth, because we need to know about that. A lot of those things that were in the film there had nothing to do with Scripture. Some did, of course, but again, you mix truth with error, what do you have? Well, of course, you have error. And so, let me just go on to the next point here. The first day that the Passion came out, it grossed $25 million. That's because, and I can tell you that, this is because the reason it made so much money is because we had so many Christian pastors promoting it for so many weeks beforehand. I mean, they were getting all this free publicity about this movie. This movie opened in theaters on Ash Wednesday. Now, what do you suppose that's all about? February the 25th, 2004. And never in history had any movie so captured the attention and adoration of the Christian community. This was even a bigger thing than the Ten Commandments. Now, this previous letter that I read, or the email rather, there was a particular place where the writers said something about how folks were actually excited about this movie. Most Christians rejoiced that from the pit of immoral industry, godless minds were suddenly reminded that there was a God. I don't know that that was the case. There's an assumption being made there in that particular letter. Back in those particular days, there were some people that were really hardcore standing against the movies altogether. And even though the movie had something to do with the Bible, a lot of those folks even then didn't rejoice over the fact that that out of this particular place, Hollywood, something like this would come out. And we can't really expect any good to come out of that anyway. But in any event, so here, this particular movie, then, the first day that came out, it made $25 million. After 5 days that it had been out, it had already gone up to $125 million. Now, what's going on with all this stuff? I mean, there's things that we need to know about. Well, I'm reading some excerpts out of a particular article that I got by a person named Terry Watkins, and you can look him up, and he's probably going to have some issues about certain things that he stands on that you would differ with him about. But in this particular case, what we're focusing on this week, he's got some things that we need to consider seriously, and these are parts of what I'm bringing. And I've got other articles and writings by other men as well. The Christian ministers in the news media had paraded the Passion as true to the Bible. Now, I read those reviews, if you recall, on Monday. And so they were saying that this was one of the greatest things that ever happened, and this is true and biblical and brilliant and so forth. And most of the Christian interviewed had remarked as how true and authentic it appeared. But is it really true to the Word of God? That needs to be the question that we as Christians need to ask. Is it true to the Word of God? Now, we have to ask that because, again, it's got to be based on the truth of God's Word. If not, then why are we rejoicing over it? Because someone was dressed up to look like Raphael's image of Jesus Christ, whatever that's supposed to be. You know, I mean, we don't know what Jesus Christ actually looked like. We continue to dress men up like this, and even in our Passion plays and churches, those of you that have it, you dress him up the same way. Everybody dresses up this person to make him look like this image that Raphael, the artist, came up with years back, and now we are holding to that particular image. And so, even that, we don't know about that, but we're trying to, is this really true to God's Word? Well, there was an article that on the MSNBC describing some of the scenes from Passion, and see if you can find these verses in the Bible, or these things in the Bible. Gibson's movie begins in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples sleeping as Jesus prays for guidance and stomps on a snake. Now, where is that in the Bible? That tempts him to avoid his destiny. There are other horrors. Screeching creature that resembles a berserk monkey, demonic children who might have wandered in from the exorcist, a bird that plucks out the eyes of a crucified man, or of crucified men, the gargoyle like members of King Herod's court, and on and on and on. Now, where's all in the world is Mel Gibson getting this information from? Is he getting it from the Bible? Well, if you can find those verses, these berserk monkeys and the Lord stomping on a snake as he's in praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and these birds plucking out eyes of crucified men, if you can find those things in the Bible, I want you to call in and tell me where those are, and I'll write down those verses, and then I'll go look them up, and then I'll come back and apologize tomorrow or later today if I find them. You know you're not going to find them. Well, as we go through here and looking at this, we need to find out where this is coming from. Well, let me start out by saying that it's not in the Bible, okay? And a lot of other things we're going to be addressing. A few years ago, as Mel Gibson was discovering or rediscovering and renewing his Catholic faith, Mel Gibson purchased a library of hundreds of books from a closed nunnery. Now, this is known information. It's out there. You can find this information yourself. Mel claims that he was reaching for a book on the library shelf, and a supernatural intervention caused another book to miraculously drop into his hands. And that miracle book, not the Bible, not the Gospels, is the inspiration of the Passion. The book was the Dolorous Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the meditations of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Gibson claims, like magic, this book opened up a new world. Amazing images, he said. She supplied me with stuff that I never would have thought of. Well, we're going to take a break, and then we'll continue. We're going to listen to the Bill of Rights recording, and then we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And welcome back. This is Pastor Tony Romo sitting in for Dr. John Coben. He'll be away for a little while, and you'll have to put up with me this week, and Mr. Greg Farrier will be here next week. And that's going to be exciting to hear. And also, we want to continue with what we're doing right now, except that I want to remind you about what we're doing on the radio this week. We're not only just talking about the Passion of the Christ, but we're applying biblical principles or the Christian worldview to issues that affect the church. Really, they're issues that affect the entire country, the world, humanity, but in this particular case, we're talking about these particular issues that affect the church and have affected the church, along with other things. You know, we've talked about in our particular Sunday school class, in these three different categories that I've made reference to before. Everything we discuss in our Sunday school class is going to be under one of three categories, either a social / cultural category, or it may be under a governmental / political category, or it may be under ecclesiastical / spiritual category. What we're discussing this week is under the category of ecclesiastical / spiritual category, and it's about the Passion of the Christ. Now, we've discussed this in our Sunday school class, the Christian Worldview Sunday school class, and we discussed it the first Sunday after that Ash Wednesday. And so I brought a lot of information to our Sunday school class to see just how scriptural this particular movie was and why we were so excited. And come to find out, the reason we were so excited is because of all the preparation done ahead of time. Many of the Christian leaders that I quoted earlier were giving all this free advertisement about this particular movie. And they got a little worked up in their emotions. And that's what happens. When you get a little worked up in your emotions, you will just about tolerate just about anything. Have you ever seen those particular TV programs, for example? Folks, three or four people maybe are sitting in a particular setting in front of the cameras there, and somebody will make some unscriptural statement, but they're so full of emotion and so charged up that people are just crying and waving their arms and saying glory to God, hallelujah, and so forth and so on, and the statement they just made is totally unscriptural. But because of the emotions, they're tolerating these kinds of things because they're so worked up. They don't want to ruin their emotional state with the truth. Oh no, let's not do that. Well, that's basically what went on, I believe, with this particular movie. We had all these leaders. You know, who cares about Pastor Tony Romo, the pastor of a little small church down here in Pelzer? Hey, you know, we've got these leaders making these wonderful statements about this great movie, and they're saying that it's brilliant, that it's accurate, and it's wonderful, and and so forth. And so they'll listen to them. And when they go to this theater, and when they went to the theater, they went with anticipating that very thing that they were told they were going to see. And they made a lot of excuses for a lot of the things that they saw in the movie. And they were making excuses such as that these, or Mel Gibson, in any event, was taking artistic license in order to produce and film, make this movie. But in fact, was that what he was doing? Well, no. It wasn't. He was not doing that. Everything he showed there, people still today think that the movie was about the crucifixion of the Lord, when in fact it wasn't about the crucifixion of the Lord. It was about the 12 state or the 14 stations of the cross, as Anne Catherine Emmerich, the mystic Catholic nun, claims to have envisioned those things throughout her life. And we're going to see more of that now. So, and most Christians even today still don't know that. Some have heard me say it and heard others say it, but we're what they may refer to as that article as poisonous gospel preachers, or venomous, rather, gospel preachers. Well, we're looking out to protect God's word and God's people. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back.
Comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
If you'd like to make a call to comment on what I've been talking about here, you can call our main line, which is 244-8177. If you're out of town, you can call that same number with an 864 in front of it. 864-244-8177. We've got a secondary line, which is 864-201-6955. And let me continue on with this. Now, again, the movie, The Passion of the Christ, is not about the crucifixion. but it's about the dolorous passion of the Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is a book that was written, a book of meditations that was written by Anne Catherine Emmerich, who was a mystic Catholic nun. Now, she possessed some very unusual abilities. Anne was born on the Feast of the Virgin Mary's own Nativity, September the 8th of 1774 in Germany. She became a nun in the Augustinian order at Dolmen. She began to have these supernatural kinds of visions very early in her life. By the age of 4, she prayed for 3 hours daily. Can you imagine that? While being physically visited by her guardian angel. Now listen now. I'm giving you a little bit of a history about this lady here, this mystic nun, Anne Catherine Emmerich, on which the movie was based by his own admission. He says Gibson claims that the magical book that opened up a whole new world to him. He says, amazing images, he said. She supplied me with stuff I never would have thought of. Well, no, you wouldn't have thought of it. And he got it right out of that book, right out of her own book. So, at 4 years old, she was praying for 3 hours daily while being physically visited by her guardian angel. Even at that early age, people around her were describing her as mysterious powers that emanated from her. Emmerich was found a lot of times practicing the occult of the art of levitation. Many times when she entered a room, she was clearly seen levitating above the ground. She also practiced the occult of the astral projection, claiming that to bilocate to various places. Astral projection is the physical ability when the soul leaves the physical body and it travels beyond space and time. There's folks today that claim to do that. And listen, you know, the devil has power too. I'm not saying that they don't do that, but this is some of the things that the devil will use to keep people deceived, thinking that they have some kind of godly power. And during her mystical astral projections, she claims to have watched the actual execution of King Louis the 16th and visited Marie Antoinette, Queen of France, in prison. Sometimes these astral projection trips actually took her into purgatory. Whoa. How can these astral projections take her into places that don't even exist? Well, she claims that she would be taken into these different places, and purgatory included. And she would view the tortured souls in purgatory. And of course, the Bible doesn't teach purgatory, but Emmerich experienced about every satanic, supernatural, and occultic practice known. Emmerich was also bore the actual physical wounds of Jesus Christ, called the Catholic mystic stigmata, where the actual wounds of Christ supernaturally appear in the hands, feet, and head. According to supposedly verified medical reports, her supernatural stigmata wounds were half an inch in size and found in her hands, feet, side, and head, and bled profusely, especially on Fridays, the Catholic erroneous date of the crucifixion. At times, the blood flowed so heavily from the supernatural stigmata wounds, the blood would completely soak the bandages and freely flow on the ground, according to the various sources. This was all verified by medical doctors. One physician who examined Emmerich said, "There can be no question of imposture in this case. The wounds speak for themselves. At least to a man of science, to ascribe them to the natural cause such as imagination, induction, analogy, or similar causes is simply impossible." According to her biographers, the last 12 years of Anne's life, she ate no food except the bread and wine of the Holy Eucharist. In other words, she supposedly lived for over 12 years on nothing but the Catholic Eucharist or Mass. To put it bluntly, Anne Catherine Emmerich was very spiritually a disturbed lady. She had some real serious problems. She really did. Well, it goes on to say some things, and I'm going to skip down to read something else. It says here now, Anne wrote a book titled The Dolorous Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ from These Visions. And according, listen to this now, and according to Mel Gibson, these demonic crucifixion visions called the Dolorous Passion became the supernatural imposed script and inspiration of the Passion, not the Gospels. This was the book that supernaturally, quote unquote, fell into the hands that became the script and inspiration for the Passion. Let me take a break, our last break, I believe, and we'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're back for our last segment for today. It's ironic that the first email that I read is titled Venomous Gospel Preachers. This article that I'm making reference to now is called The Poison in the Passion. Yeah, there's poison in this particular movie for sure. It's not in the gospel itself. The poison is not in the gospel. The poison is in the conveyance of that gospel if it's not conveyed properly. Again, making reference to that first email, the venomous gospel preachers, and I said earlier, or the article read something about using that as a springboard to witness to someone. Well, of course, we do that with any particular thing, and I used one particular example as to how I've done that before. There's another example I'd like to share with you. There was a particular day, maybe 3 years ago or so, that I was traveling somewhere, and I stopped to pick up a cup of coffee in one of these fast food places, or one of these convenience stores, rather. There was a young lady there behind the counter, a couple of young ladies, and they were talking between themselves, and as one of them was coming forward to take my money for my coffee, she says, "Jesus Christ, You've heard that. You've heard people. Now, that is not a cuss word, but it's using the name of the Lord in vain. In other words, it has no meaning behind it. She's using it as an exclamation point or as an exclamation remark. But it's offensive to us as Christians, or it ought to be. And it was to me. But instead of getting all huffy over it, what I said was that when she says Jesus Christ, I said, saves. And she looked at me and kind of puzzled, and she says, pardon me? I said, Jesus Christ saves. I said, wasn't that what you were going to say? And boy, she got all kinds of red. And she was fairly embarrassed, and I didn't mean to embarrass her, but I wanted to make a point. And then I got to talking to her. I said, you know, because Jesus Christ does save. Isn't that what you were going to say? And she kind of laughed. She just kind of chuckled out of embarrassment. And I got to talking to her a little bit. Come to find out, she claims to be a Christian herself. And she even told me that she went to a particular church down the street somewhere. And I'm just kind of nodding as she's telling me that. But she knows, she knew that what she had done was a reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. And she, claiming to be a Christian, of all people, should have known better. Now, I didn't know whether she was or wasn't a Christian at the time, but afterwards she told me she was. Well, it served its purpose. Now, we don't need to be walking around like we're some kind of mealy-mouthed kinds of citizens or any type of thing, any secondary, second-class citizens, rather, if I can spit that out. And we can take a stand and make our positions known. We don't have to be ugly about it, but boy, we ought to be firm. And that's one of the things that today a lot of Christians are so afraid of. We just don't want to be portrayed as someone that's unloving, uncharitable, unkind, and that sort of thing. So we cease to be an influence because we think that we're going to be more relevant by not being, not taking a position and not making statements like that. And when it comes to movies like this, most people don't want to even take the time to go research what this movie's all about. And so they'll sit there and listen to these preachers, and they'll say, well, if Brother So-and-so, if Jerry Falwell says it's a good movie, well, then it's a good movie. And so forth. You know, I mean, we're giving people so much liberty that we ought not to. We've got to hold each other accountable, y'all. I mean, we have to hold each other accountable. We cannot allow people to go off half-cocked making all these statements about the movie or about any other thing that has to do with the Word of God or any movement. Like, there's so many people right now getting caught up in all these particular movements that are so trendy and the casual, pseudo-sophisticated, Christophobic, really. I mean, some of these churches today, they don't even want to use the name of Jesus Christ because they say that the name of Christ turns people off, so they're going to avoid using the word Jesus Christ, and they're just going to make reference to God in a general sense, just God. They don't want to use the word sinners. They don't want to use the word hell in their sermons because they're afraid that's going to be offensive, and we don't want to offend anybody. Well, we're not trying to be offensive, but listen, the message of the cross is offensive, and that's just the way it is. We don't need to be offensive in a personal way, but when we convey the true, the proper, the truth of God's word, the message of the cross, and the Bible says that the message of the cross is to them that perish, foolishness. And then he says also that he wants us to preach the message of the cross, and the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, foolishness. So, we as Christians then need to take a position that's based on the truth of God's Word. We don't need to be so caught up with the emotions involved in these kinds of things. Yes, you can sit there and watch this movie and just cry throughout the movie because of all the terrible, bloody violence that's being conveyed. Whether it was that bloody or not, I don't know. I wasn't there. I mean, I don't know if this particular nun was there. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh because it's sad. It really is. But this, the very source of this particular movie, where everything came from, is based on occultic visions of a mystic nun. Here's what some of the things that Anne Catherine Emmerich has to say. The church is the only, the Roman Catholic, and if there were left upon earth but one Catholic, he would be the one universal church the Catholic Church, the Church of Jesus Christ, against which the gates of hell shall never prevail. Now, this is her statement. These are her quotes. Here's another statement by her. Then I had the sweet assurance that Mary is the Church our Mother, God our Father, and Jesus our Brother. Now, again, that's a quote directly from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Now, here's another one. I have had a great vision on the mystery of the Holy Mass, and I have seen that whatever good has existed since creation is owing to it. Again, this is by Anne Catherine Emmerich, the Roman Catholic nun who wrote this particular book on which the movie The Passion of the Christ was based. Not the Bible, but on her book. Well, we've run out of time, and we'll just have to come back tomorrow and continue this. If there's any particular issue you'd like to discuss tomorrow morning, just call in our number, and we'll discuss that. Until then, God bless you, and we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network. For Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.